Oh, hello, and welcome to Adente Rigamortis. I'm Review Cultist.
I'm Mikey, the E stands for evil.
And I'm the gamer in yellow.
And we're here to discuss those internet stories, most creepy and most pasta, and be critically silly doing it. And tonight we have one most Morfolk. So we are doing the final chapter in the Morfolk series. A final note from Morfolk. So, we're doing a final note from Morfolk. It's by Icy Dice. You can check out the story on creeppos.wiki. As of this recording, it just got like dropped like last week. And
we're actually I'm doing a upset. New one for once.
Yeah, like I saw Icy Dice on Twitter drop a link to it, and I was like, ooh. It's the final countdown.
Countdown's over, it's here now.
Yeah. Before we get too far ahead of ourselves, let's give our initial recommendations for the story, starting with myself. I'm going to partially recommend it.
I am going to not.
Okay.
I too am not going to recommend this one.
Yeah. Well, let's find out and give some reasons as to why we gave it such harsh recommendations.
And starting out, those recommendations will change.
Yeah.
You never know.
Or, well, yeah, there might even be some twists. Who knows? Mm-hmm. And before we get too far with that, let's start with the rundown. Featuring, I guess it's Jay.
Yeah.
So we get a final transcript of evidence from Jay. In the transcript, he has hacked into Detective Clark's computer to have a conversation/interrogation session with him. It sort of goes both ways until Jay brings up the name Jill Olson, who is revealed to be the identity of the entity killing people in Morfolk. 20 years back, she was a drugged-up young woman who Detective Clark found on the streets, and rather than help her out, seemingly took advantage of her, and then let her go off to die sometime later, a few towns over. Though not before she gave birth to a boy, whose father is sort of insinuated to be Clark, but it's not really 100%. It's also revealed that Detective Clark has spent the last 20 years working to bury this incident and try to make amends, helping those who need help with substance abuse and such. But the intentions were less than pure, according to Jay. The detective eventually comes around to confessing and stepping down from his post. At least that's what he promises to do right after this conversation. And then the transcript ends.
I mean, technically, he's not a detective after the story. So,
I mean, that's true. Yeah. we also get some parting words from Jay stating that he's going to go and ensure things follow through, but that if he dies, And it's found out to the public and some of that it was not self-inflicted, and it's probably going to get covered up from the secret agency or organization that's been pulling the strings, according to Jay. The last bit of the story is an article where we learn that Detective Clark was gravely injured and died from an assailant that broke into his home, who also died seemingly of a self-inflicted wound. the assailant also appears to have been accompanied by a small female figure based on footprints found at the scene of the crime, but no further investigation or evidence is going forward to identify the victim or the assailant or the victim/assailant. And the article ends claiming Detective Clark was a good man and will be missed by the community. All this signed off by one Jamie Pratt. So that is the final note from Morfolk. So I suppose we'll move on to Everyone Tolerates the Grand Inquisitions. At this point, guys, do you guys got stuff?
Yes.
Okay.
Of course.
Mikey, the E stands for evil, truly. Take it away.
So the first one I have is, I feel a comma is needed.
Okay.
So the quote is, assholes like you who deny what's truly happening are part of why these deaths have continued. So there's no comma in that, so I put a comma after happening. So, assholes like you who deny what's truly happening are part of why these deaths have continued.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Almost need a comma after you as well.
Yeah.
I guess that works, too.
And then I have a conjunction junction.
All right. And next stop, conjunction junction. Doot,
doot. So, you're masking yourself with a voice changer plugin. And what is my type, detective? But I see you for what you are. It's all a facade, and that got me thinking. But here I was like, shit, this guy is good, isn't he? But something didn't add up. It's clear to me you don't have connections or regard to this place. And so what? And no, they weren't in the form of some creature your sick mind made up. But don't worry, detective. But I could never have fucked up as much as you did. So tell me, detective. It makes your skin crawl, doesn't it? So, how do we both know who she is, detective? And what are your demons, Jay? But you were out alone on that street with her in the middle of the night. And yet you won't turn off the computer. You know what this is. Or did you demand compensation for your act of charity? It wasn't like that. How dare you accuse me of something like this? It wasn't like that. And I tried to tell her no and push her off, but she didn't listen. Or was she just tainted meat to you? It never happened again. And here you are, doing nothing as everyone suffers for your choice. It is with much regret that I inform you that Detective Clark Casper, aged 45, was found killed in his home Wednesday night. It is believed that the assailant did not come alone, as a pair of small female footprints were discovered at the scene of the crime. Finn.
Wow. Kind of, because you didn't use the like Detective Casper, Jay, like when they were talking, and you kind of didn't have any inflection at all on like who was talking, I kind of just got the impression that it was just Jay like on the phone with Detective Casper.
Yeah, you heard one side of the conversation.
Yeah. And then even like, he was like, you're already dead, detective. Like, especially at the end, like, starts just like explaining the scene of the crime and stuff. But yeah,
he said like 90% of that was dialogue, bro.
Yeah, I was waiting for you to do the end bit, and I was like, except for when it's dialogue, which most of this was.
Yeah,
because yeah. I get it. Like, otherwise, this would be very short.
It's a bit.
It's a silly bit. Like, don't take it serious that serious when we do this.
Yeah, I was very much contemplating just starting with Finn, and
that would have been funny.
Yeah, but yeah, for those unaware, Mikey grabs sentences throughout the story that start with words that they probably shouldn't, like "it's ends or buts," because there's always better words to use,
except when it's dialogue.
Except when it's dialogue, and it doesn't matter because that's
because people talk. Yeah, people just tend to use ands and buts like unfinished. We do not correct ourselves unless you're like a really like tight ass person, like formal person. You don't use proper grammar. Like how I just did. Like you don't you like yeah. Anyway, so
yeah.
All right. Gamer, do we have a grammar in yellow?
No.
Okay. Then I suppose let's move on to the meat and potatoes of this episode with the actual thoughts. So I'm gonna start with this one here. Jay, you know nothing about me. If you did, you would be trembling with regret. Detective Casper. Man, that's a good cup of Joe. Where was I? Right. The psychological profile of a man-child like yourself. It's really weird. Like I, as a GM for tabletop games, I often can't stand when players try to cut off my villain monologues and such. But I really enjoy it in stories most of the time. Like this one I really enjoyed, like, because like, and it's sort of almost like making fun of itself a little bit, because like we've heard in the past, like Jay like does these like monologues and stuff like that, like kind of like a mastermind kind of person, and then like even like backtracks on it and like addresses that why that he does that, he sounds like that. And then this story just kind of like goes full circle with like just straight up parody, like just sort of like straight up like not denied the premise, but like just satirizing it almost in a way with that.
Yeah. I have to ask, as soon as Casper cut him off like that and started sipping a coffee, did you imagine him to look a certain way when he did that? Did his visualization change on you?
I don't know what you mean, actually.
Did he remind you of a certain Captain Selenium person?
Yeah, he might. Yeah, yeah. Casper might now look like, might have like a streak of white hair, like through like his gray, his salt and pepper hair. Yeah. Mm. But yeah, so, yeah, it just, it is really like kind of fun. Like when it's done in a story and like you're like, it's always fun when like a character who's like being sort of obnoxious with like a monologue and stuff like that does that. It's just funny because like on the other side of things, I'm usually the one that's giving those monologues, because I'm usually the GM who's like portraying like villains or monsters that have like speeches for the players or like are addressing the players. And one of our certain players, Captain Selenium, often likes to try and stop me mid sentence with like an attack.
Well, to try and like this. Yeah, it's because, and I understand it this way myself. It's realistic. If we are a badass adventuring party, and then the big bad comes out, he's like, aha, and he starts a long-ass dialogue, we're not locked to a cutscene like in the video games.
No, true, but, like, there's also, like, cooperative storytelling, which, like, I can see it both ways. Like, yes, like, it's not a cutscene, like your character would react this way. At the other, same time, when you do it too often, I feel like it's being really disrespectful to the GM who crafted a speech for their villain, and then you just fucking shit over it. Like I see both ways. Like, often? Yes, every fucking time, Captain. No, you're fine. It's Captain Selenium.
Okay,
we're straight up calling out Captain Selenium from One Less Die.
Oh God,
fuck that guy. No,
he's becoming the roast of Captain Selenium.
And he has like he has explained why he does it. Like most times, is because when he tries to cut me off, my characters off, it's because he's trying to get an advantage. Because he is terrified of what the character can do to his character.
Yeah.
So he's trying to get an advantage over the monster or what have you. But that said, I do often try.
If you get the first punch in, you'll be KO'd because he's a
Yeah. I am debating trying to find some ways to like shut that down, like narratively, like if next time he does that, like find some way to like just like, or either like out of game or in game, like just try and like, no, stop. Let me have the monologue. You'll be able to attack late after, but let me have this monologue.
Kind of. I mean, even if he does it in the, okay, if you're, this has nothing to do with the story.
No, but it is something that's brought up in the story that just reminded me of it because like of my own personal opinions and stuff.
What I suggest is if your badass boss is a caster of some kind and someone wants to interrupt with a certain spell of some kind.
Counterspell.
Yeah. Like, while you're saying your monologue, just go counterspell. Where was I?
Yes. Where was I? Oh, yes. Yeah. I should try to do that. Yeah. More often.
Like, as long as it's not in combat, like, who cares? You know, we're just...
Yeah.
It's a cutscene. You can fuck around with shit like that.
Yeah. But yeah, moving on to the actual story about away from our sister podcast, One Less Die,
which may or may not be cut out because I don't know how much of a rant that was.
Oh no, I'm keeping it all in. It's all staying in. But yeah, I'll move on to the next thing I have here. This one is, yes. So, Detective Casper, this is a small town, man. A small town where technology isn't exactly something we focus on teaching. Hell, most of our tech people are out-of-towners who moved in after learning their trade somewhere else. Somewhere fancier. That, and your fake empathy and shit-stirring you displayed. It's clear to me that you don't have any connections or regard to this place. You ain't from here, are you? Oh, the plot thickens. That's also kind of an interesting idea, like an interesting good point on how the police were able to, would be able to track down Jay's identity. Like, but it's not really, it's not fully implemented in the story, in the narrative. But like, it is definitely something. Like, why aren't the police in this small town, like, have a list of people who are known like tech experts or something like that? Because like, the things Jay is doing in this town is pretty like high end, like hacking into the police. And stuff like that. You think you think they would at least like have some kind of an investigation, like targeting like various like tech support people or something like that in the town. just a thought. Hello.
I was muted today.
I mean, usually I get like a response. Like, what's going on?
I was talking. I was saying words. So that's the thing. It's like, he straight up says that you're not from around here. So it's entirely possible that he just lives in another town and makes the trip over to fuck with them and goes back. So they can keep looking around more folk all they want. He ain't there.
He wouldn't even have to. Like, okay, remember, we did kind of insinuate that, like, Jay might be the child of the creature. What if he's actually in that a couple towns over, and he's just, like, because, like, it's the wireless age. He hacked the police station remotely. He's not even in the same town. He's just a couple towns over.
Yeah, he's a technomancer.
Yeah,
from which version of Shadowrun? Sorry, Mikey has like.
Shadowrun 4th edition is the one where they introduced technomancers after using Otaku as the as.
But
the
they got dumbed down. Like originally, they had infinite range, right?
So fifth edition, I think, and 5th edition is like the next edition after 4th edition. They nerfed technomancers.
So yeah, he's a 4th edition technomancer.
Yeah,
chilling at home. It's like that WoW guy from the South Park episode.
Yeah.
Getting back in his chair, beating the shit out of him.
Yeah. But I mean, like, even like outside of like the Shadowrun, like 10 Technomancers, like that's stuff you could probably do today, remote access wise.
Yeah.
Like, definitely. You don't have to be like in the same like neighborhood or block, even. Like, you don't probably have to be in the same like state to hack a police.
Like, how many freaking people these days get hacked from like
Russia
halfway across the world?
Yeah.
Shit sucks.
Yeah. So yeah. No. Cyber security is. I mean, hell, like cybersecurity is a big thing nowadays. So,
yeah.
But yeah. So it is still like interesting. Like if it had been brought up that earlier that the police had been like looking into like people who were very tech savvy in town, because like those would probably be their number one suspects.
Mm.
But I digress. I'll move on to the next thing I have. So yeah, this is Detective Casper's. The things you've done, they're not just a harmless prank. You're trying to obstruct justice. You're breaking the law. You're obstructing justice. To quote Kung Fury.
Yeah.
As soon as I read it, I was just like, you're breaking the law.
That's so good.
But that silliness aside, I'll move on. Detective Casper, you were under the impression that we had no leads, but we always did. You kept giving them to us, after all. And no, they weren't in the form of some creature your sick mind made up. You're a stranger tampering with an investigation. With your ability with technology and level of planning, you also demonstrate the skill and patience to pull off these killings. You fit the bill more than any other soul in this damn town. Jay. If that's the case, how do you explain the monster woman? What is she? If it's been me all along, Detective Casper, who's to say? How you did it will come in time. Maybe we'll get a confession. Perhaps you drugged the victims and made them more susceptible to your suggestions. They saw what you wanted them to see. What the fuck is Jay? A fucking the Scarecrow from Batman?
Yeah, exactly.
But like, also, man, I at the time of reading this, like at this point in the story, I was like, I don't know who was who's in the right here. Like, is Jay the killer? Or are the cops just simply looking for a scapegoat to cover up this these killings? Or just like find like somebody to blame? Like, there's a fair bit of back and forth in this, like through this this story, like in this interview, like this this interrogation slash conversation. And until the end, at least, like really for me, it was really hard to like get a solid read on either person as being innocent or guilty. And then I have an update. I liked how things took a heel turn when we got when Jill Olsen's name came up and we started getting a more like cemented answer of like who's actually in the right and who's in the wrong, like who's like what. We got some more like clarity on like the situation when Detective Casper started sort of like breaking after the name was dropped.
Yeah, but it, he's not cemented as the bad guy even then yet.
No, well, and yeah, like he's not a. Like, I mean,
we don't know whose side of the details is true.
But it does kind of get like as it goes on after that, it does kind of start painting the detective as in a much more suspicious light because he starts acting a lot more, a lot weirder, and then starts just and then just straight up confesses about the about what he did 20 years back. So, and then we have this part here. So this is from Jay. You think you're so smart, don't you? Sitting here and mundanifying this with your excuses and rationalizations. Assholes like you who deny what's truly happening are part of why these deaths are, have continued. Yeah, Mikey, the E stands for evil. Always mundanifying things.
Oh, okay. I was like, where's he going with this?
Also, as a quick aside, I don't think mundanifying is an actual word, but I'm going to let it pass. Because I like that. I like that use.
What else would you say?
I just know that I don't think it's an actual word.
It is now.
Yeah, now it's in my lexicon. It has been in my lexicon for years.
Yeah.
I think we've brought it up multiple times on this show. How, like, sure. Again, how Mikey will mundanify things. So.
Mm-hmm.
Or mundanifying, depending mm-hmm. on how you pronounce it. But yeah, I just had to get that out. Yeah, Mikey. Always mundanifying things. And then I'm going to move to this one here. Detective Casper. Ever heard of fucking the pooch? You did it. Jay. Yeah, I've heard of it in many ways. I did fuck the pooch. What? But I could never have fucked up as much as you did. Okay, so it's just a really weird like thing to say. It was just like a really weird like off like response to that.
Yeah.
In my mind, I was like, yeah, I've heard of it. In many ways, I did fuck the pooch. I'm sorry.
No, I fucked the pooch in many ways, what he said.
I know, yeah, but like the way it's said.
It's like, sounds like there's like even the sexual option is on the table for him.
Yeah, it's like furry says what?
Yeah.
Not there's anything wrong with various kinks.
Of course not.
But I'll move on to the next thing here. This is from Jay. She was not a demon detective. She was simply a victim of one the one monster whose eyes I look into here and now. You made her as she is in the present. You know it, and I know it. You made her. Jill Olsen. I believe at the time you two crossed paths, she'd have been 25, no? Detective Casper. Are you insinuating that somehow my engagement with some random out-of-towner turned into all this? Some freak of nature monster preying on innocence? You sound insane. You need help, Jay. Serious help. So previous entries from the More Folk series, I have had the idea to use this monster or this creature, Jill, for fodder for a Vossen game. And that has not changed. In fact, little bits and secrets of like how she was created here, like the sort of little origin we get of like how like she's kind of fleshing out to be more of a revenant at this point, like something that comes back after something bad happened, like a grudge monster or something like that.
Yeah.
So it's helping me build on the idea of what exactly, like how I would stat her out in Vossen.
Thanks. I hate it.
Yeah. So you're going to come to like a town that's experiencing like a bunch of, killings of like children and women who are pregnant.
They're not going to turn around. So you guys got this.
Yeah. Yeah, that's definitely not gonna pop
my
up.
Character in Vossen was a
woman. What?
Sure, my character was a woman in Vossen as well, so she'd be targeted.
Yeah. I mean, well, again, that campaign's over. But like, so I'd probably run this as like a one shot something on Vossen. Yeah. Something. And I did just acquire on DriveThruRPG Mythic Modern, or I think it's like Mythic Modern Vossen, which is basically just like importing Vossen and putting it into the 21st century, which. And if you would like to listen to some Vossen games, anybody out there, you can check out our sister podcast, One Less Die, where we are currently posting a Ravenloft in Vossen campaign. plug. But I digress. I'll move on to the next thing I have here. Detective Casper. It wasn't like that. How dare you accuse me of something like this? Everyone saw how I was with Pretty. You showed them. Showed them how I treat people who are going through their worst moments. I'm not a goddamn monster. Jay. Do you treat him that way as an act of kindness or as a means of scrubbing away the filth within you? I was literally about to say this like at before Jay got it.
Not really.
Like just that, like it definitely sounds like just from like the context before and then like Detective Casper's like kind of rationale of like look what I'm helping Pretty. I help people who like him, like when with this stuff, like I take them into custody, but then I help them, like I'm trying to get them help. And it's like, are you really though? Like, is it really altruistic or are you just trying to like make amends for something you did like a while back?
Well, regardless, that doesn't change his good deeds today.
It's sort of, I like, you're right. Like, if he's being
good, whether it's based on like past bad experiences, he's changed.
See, here's that's the thing. Like, the problem that's not the problem. Like, yes, he's making amends, but he's covered up what he did that makes him want to make these amends. What changed him? Like, he's not telling the truth to everybody why he's suddenly starting to, why he's changed. He's trying to cover that up under the rug. Like, he got rid of that. So you're right. Like, it's not altruistic. He didn't change because he may not have changed because he wanted to. He changed because he need to, but from his own moral code, but also because of something he fucked up and did. But he's not addressing that fuck up that he did. He's just trying to cover it up with these altruistic means.
I guess, but it's still like, in the same realm as like giving a guy a second chance.
Yeah, I would say it's a gray area, but when you're also dealing with a supernatural monster that's like that wants like retribution, she doesn't work in gray. She works in black and whites.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, I do kind of feel an empathy for Detective Casper. Like, he was in his 20s, he fucked up. But he does need to kind of face justice, just not like maybe not blood and like not in blood, but like he does need to step down and also like address what he was doing. Like, it's sort of like
even in the situation where Casper's version of the story is true, where he didn't make advances on her, she pushed her advances on him and wouldn't stop. Like, is he still the villain there? Like,
it's complicated. It is complicated.
Why would she turn into a monster on this?
Well, no, it's she was under the influence, so she didn't technically have consent, and he should have known better. It's very complicated and very gray, though. Like, he is still sort of in the wrong to me.
His story, he by his story consent either.
That's his way. Like, that's the thing. Like, we
that's what I'm saying. If his story is true, he's not in the wrong here.
Even if it's true, like, I still understand why she's going after him, because like she still died because he didn't help her afterward.
Last cop that she ran into, basically?
Yeah, it sounds like it.
But she went a couple of cities over. No one else talked to her over there?
Probably not.
I feel like, if anything, she should be targeting that other city, a city of people that completely ignored her while she was dying.
No, but like at the same... And like, again, it also sounds, at least from the story, it sounds like he also inadvertently impregnated her. Who's to say she didn't die giving birth to her kid? And so like there's sort of like that kind of like, I think that's where the connection of the grudge is.
I mean, that's why Jay is targeting him and all that, because I'm assuming he's her child.
Yeah. And that's probably why she's also targeting Detective Casper.
I guess.
Yeah. It's dark. It's really kind of there's some grays, but also like I kind of get both. Like I can see. I'm still rooting for the monster, unfortunately, for this, because like Detective Casper, like he fucked up, but like, he has been covering it up for 20 years, like his fuck up. So
the monster is literally just murdering people for no good reason.
It's a supernatural
against him. She should just go against him, not kill all these other people. The monster has no leg to stand on in court here.
That's the problem, is like, we also don't know how the supernatural aspect works. Like why she has to do this. Like maybe it's an impulse or something like that. Yeah, it's...
Doesn't matter.
It does, actually.
You can ask a murderer why he killed people. He said, it's an impulse. Oh, okay, you walk.
No, it's not that. Like, it's... when it comes to supernatural monsters, like, resurrected because they were, like... because they died under suspicious situations and stuff like that and came back and started going on a murder spree, like, I understand why... I mean, I'm also not advocating, like, for the monster to be, like... be redeemed after killing like a bunch of children, stuff like that. It's sort of like Jason Voorhees died. Well, technically he didn't, but lore wise. But like he was picked on and left out in the lake to drown because all the camp counselors were ignoring him because they were too infatuated with each other. I kind of get why they go after why he goes after. I don't like why he goes after camp counselors and campers, because they were all like mean to him and stuff of that in life. I don't sympathize with him enough to like want him like say, oh yeah, no, he's justified killing those people. It's like, no, but I understand why he's killing people.
Yeah, and that's my whole point. I don't understand why she's killing people,
because she was deprived.
Be done. Kill Casper and kill the entire town that she died in because they didn't help her. I don't know why she's targeting this town. That's my whole point.
I think this is like, because this town is the one that where like it kind of was the catalyst for like what happened to her. But like, again, it's a supernatural creature. Sometimes we don't know all their motives.
Yeah.
Or like what's motivating them or their catalyst. But like, I feel like it's just sort of also when it comes to like grudge monsters and stuff, like that, it's just unbridled, illogical rage and emotion that drives them. So,
yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't always have to make sense. Like logistically, like she may not even want. It seems like from what we've seen of the creature in the previous stories, she just wants her child. So obviously she died during childbirth or something like that, and she wants that child. She's doing it in this horrible, horrendous way that's fucking like disgusting and grotesque. But it's still like sort of like unbridled, illogical mother's love, or like tainted mother's love because of what like how she died. But yeah, so like again, I would have like I kind of feel bad that like somebody killed Detective Casper before, because like I feel like he was going to turn around and confess and step down, but then somebody killed him and covered all it up again. So but that's for the end of the story. So I'll move on to the next thing I have. So this is from after the transcription, speaking of the near the end. In the end, I suppose that whatever agent, oh, so this is like not the article, but this is like Jay's like talking after the transcript. In the end, I suppose that whatever agency is out there is pleased with the results. The two loose ends of this mess tied up in a neat little bow. Was there actually an agency behind the police, or like they have like zero presence outside of Jay's own paranoid views and ramblings of the in the last story and like the previous story from this one and like this story. I'm still unconvinced that they were that there was ever an agency involved or existed in the story, which I suppose was their intent, actually, now I think about it, because if they're doing their job right, then there's no evidence that they were actually there.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
I think he was saying like he was going through some files and he saw some like stuff connected to some weird agency, but like he couldn't like there's some threads of it, unless I'm mixing my
I don't recall that. I recall him like just blaming a secret agency for like pumping some kind of like infiltrating his house and like tampering with things. And like even on the cameras like are acting funny and stuff like that. So they were like he was blaming that they were wiping his cameras, his security cameras. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. Like I still not on the I'm still not on either side of the fence as to whether or not this agency actually existed or if it was all like in Jamie's or in Jay's head.
I mean, I don't really trust Jay at this point. He's kind of insane.
Well, he's definitely under some kind of influence. I think it's more under the influence of the mother monster, but
even is one, because who freaking knows? Like,
yeah,
Casper's whole thing might be true. Like, maybe Jay actually has an outfit and uses some sort of weird gas to scarecrow his victims into believing these things.
Yeah, he could have a separate personality that kind of kicks in, like a Jekyll and Hyde sort of situation. Like, where he doesn't know that...
It's literally, like, he's been talking crazy the entire time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, so you think he might just be intentionally, like, throwing us all off and or with these notes and stuff like that, and just trying to get into our heads or mess with us.
Basically.
Okay. Well, I'll move on to the next thing I have. This is from the article at the end. A man who truly exemplifies virtue and selflessness was lost, but not one person would ever forget him and his infectiously cheerful attitude. God rest your soul, Clark Casper. Jamie Pratt. Wait.
Who's Jamie Pratt? I don't remember.
I'm going to get to that in my notes here. All right. So I was kind of left confused by the ending here, and I slipped down a small rabbit hole. So hear me out. Because at the end here, we get a sign-off of the article's writer, Jamie Pratt. And for some reason, that feels to me like a revelation in the story. Like, that is who Jay was all along? And that this is one of those endings for a story where the anonymous writer fakes their death, but the story reveals their true name at the end of as someone like a journalist who we've seen in previous writings in these stories. But then the plot thickens, for when I went back to source out Jamie Pratt in a previous story, I got this little revelation. So this is from Something Horrible Is Happening in Moorfolk.
Is that the first one?
I believe so.
Doesn't matter.
Want to know an interesting little tidbit of information? The author of all those newspaper clippings is the same person. Guess who it was? Does the name Phil Pratt ring a bell? Moorfolk's beloved journalist who happens to be married to Jamie Pratt. As is common knowledge, Jamie Pratt's maiden name is Jamie Mackey. These articles were written by the sheriff's son-in-law. So Jamie Pratt is the sheriff's daughter and Phil is the journalist who's been writing all the articles previously and stuff like that. Except for at the end of this story, like a final note from Moorfolk, where we get an article from Jamie Pratt, Phil's wife. So could Jamie still be Jay all along, or is the person dead in Detective Clark's home Jay and a separate person? They were even seemingly accompanied by the mother entity, Jill Olson, what with the female footprints, which were small, like a child's, or was Jill just petite? So did Jay die or not? Is this further evidence of a cover-up story situation? Like, I guess there might have been an agency after all behind the scenes, given that things were left uninvestigated by authorities, according to the article. And Clark was killed before confessing what he had done 20 years back. Or maybe the real sacrifice desired by the mother was just his life. Like him confessing to what he had done 20 years back was not enough for the monster, because most of the time monsters work in black and white. They don't work in gray areas. On another note, I do feel that like this ending bit should be bracketed, or should have a bracketed part stating that it's an article pulled from the local Moorfolk newspaper, just to clarify, because it was kind of weird when it came up.
Yeah, because I'm like, I thought Jay died. How is Jay typing?
Yeah, how right.
Know the freaking the future of this article that's going to happen after Jay died.
Yeah, and like at the end of the story, like right after, so I think where Jay stops writing is like when like farewell for the last time, Jay, and then we have like //, which I guess is like basically a horizontal line, the equivalent of a horizontal line, and then beloved Moorfolk detective Clark Casper found killed in the home. So that's the header of the article. But I just feel like there should have been like in brackets an excerpt from the local Moorfolk thing, just to kind of get, because it's clearly like this part here is just trying to give us closure for what happened to Jay and what happened to Detective Clark after the after this went out, right? So yeah, all that to say, also I think something added about how the killings have stopped might also be good at the end here, if you're going to have this last bit to kind of clarify that like Detective Clark didn't make it to didn't get to confess what he had done before he was, I guess, executed or killed, and it was all like covered up or something like that. I guess I could take this or leave it. I just feel like the ending should have clarified that like the killings have stopped since Detective Clark was killed, or maybe they're still going, and then means it's not over because the monster hasn't been, because maybe the monster just hasn't been like fulfilled, as is often the case with supernatural entities.
Of course not. Jay still wants to murder.
Yeah. Yeah, because apparently Jamie is maybe like, is Jamie Pratt the Jay, or like I'm just so confused.
Yeah.
Also,
well, hang on, was Jamie Pratt a writer for the newspaper?
She was the wife of the journalist Phil Pratt.
Okay.
And
so fact that this is written by her, she isn't a journalist. She isn't like writing this stuff in the newspaper.
But she might. Yeah.
I don't. This would be her writing in the newspaper. So this is her putting this in this article on the internet.
Maybe
it can't be a newspaper clipping unless she decided my first foray into writing a newspaper article is this.
Yeah. I guess I should have gone through like all the stories and looked up Jamie Pratt to see where they lie. Because I just did in the one story. I was like, wait, Jamie Pratt isn't the journalist. It's Phil. Her husband.
I remember some other Jay related name. I'm like,
there's a lot of Jays. There's like, that's the thing. Like Jay's name, like we're still not sure exactly who Jay is, because there's Jill Olson. There's Jamie Pratt. Like, yeah, it's also the fact that it's Jill Olson. And like, it kind of works with your idea. It's like, what if Jay is actually, is Jill Olson, like, and she is not maybe she didn't die like a couple of towns over, maybe she lived on but still seeked revenge on this town and this person for like I guess technically raping her because she didn't have consent of when she was drugged up and such. But that's like a really long con to be doing this late in the game. But yeah
she could literally just be murdering people and this is all completely mundane.
Yeah. Yeah, this has all just been mundanified.
Mm-hmm. Mundanified.
Yep. Mm-hmm. This ending kind of, this is part why I kind of partially recommended this story, is because I was just kind of left confused by the end here. Like, there wasn't, like, it was really like, it's giving me a talking point, kind of like how some horror movies do that, like where like it leaves you like wondering, and then like you start talking to your friends like, did that actually just happen? What the fuck happened? And then you're like spend like 30 minutes after the movie like talking about the ending. But like this one's also just like, I was like, it's not very clear, it's not entirely clear cut as to what's like how things ended up, but like maybe I'm just not getting it. I don't know. So all that to say, like, that's the end of my my actual thoughts. We still don't get a full, I guess we're never going to find out exactly who Jay was, since this is the final note from Morfolk.
Wait, there's another name, Jackie Middleton.
Yeah, there's Jackie Middleton. Yeah,
so many J names.
Icy Dice might have done that on purpose to kind of like throw off like who Jay is, like as you're like going through it.
Meanwhile, Jay is a guy named Steve.
Yeah, Steve. yeah, that's my actual thoughts. So, Mikey, these stands for evil.
Yeah. So this story very much mundanified the series. It did its job for me.
Yeah.
It did.
But I didn't get the sense that Jay was dead.
But then
at the end.
Who died? Who's the assailant that murdered Detective Casper and then offed themselves?
It's described that there's no there's no way to identify the body.
Yeah, right? That's really weird. Like, that's really weird to me. That like that's so obviously a cover up.
Yeah,
yeah.
But it's not said that it is Jay, is or isn't Jay.
Yeah.
So I just assumed it wasn't Jay.
That's fair. It also, I think that's why I kept like things like, wait, so Jamie Pratt Jay? Because she signs off at the end of the story, like at the end of this article, is like, and her name starts with a J. So is she in fact, is Jay Jamie Pratt? Like that's, and whoever was the assailant, like was just something, maybe a cover up or some kind or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She just paid someone to go kill him.
Or I wonder if like, maybe the secret agency like just like got some person to like go in there with like a, I guess with like a little girl, or I don't know what. I'm still confused about the little
girl footprints. Makes it seem like Jay was a man, because there's Jay's footprints and then these other footprints of a woman.
Yeah,
AKA Jay isn't a woman.
Yeah. But to me, like those footprint, the other footprints, like the female footprints, made me think it was like, so is the mother, was the mother there too? Or like, I'm so confused.
That's the monster walking away.
I guess. Yeah. But then why
I viewed it. Yeah. Jay was a guy. Jay's footprints were there and the mother was watching to make sure it happened or whatever. And then those are the two footprints.
And then Jay just offed himself. Like, he said he won't do it,
aka like they just shot him dead.
Oh, okay, the agency showed up and then just offed him and then made it look like a suicide.
I guess, yeah.
Yeah. But then was that really Jay, or as Mikey is inferring?
Questions. What was he saying at the end of the previous one? Like he's getting a gun and going to do a thing?
Yeah, he said he was going to. Yeah, basically, he's got a gun. He's going to make one way or another. This is going to end because she demands blood. Was kind of the gist of what I got from the end of the previous story.
So he basically admitted that he's going to go there and kill Casper.
Yeah, and then in this story, he says that he's not. If it looks like a suicide, know that I would not have killed myself. So that kind of thing. Yeah,
I just don't understand why they would need to cover up that as well, though.
Yeah.
Unless Jay himself or herself is someone that's like really influential and important. So they have to cover it up like, oh, we don't know who it is.
Yeah, why can't they could cover up in a different way, like, oh, this crazy person who's been pranking this entire town with these weird false emails and stuff like that.
Yeah.
They finally went after the detective. But yeah, like just completely throw that person under the bus.
That's exactly what happened also.
Yeah, except like there's like that weird like, oh, they're going to fake my suicide, like they're going to fake my death as a suicide kind of thing for some reason. I was like, why couldn't Detective Casper have like gunned her down or gunned them down? Like,
well, from the sounds of it, that's what happened. Possibly. There was a gun
fight. Possibly. Yeah.
Because
and then, yeah.
Um Jay's body, whoever that is, or that other body, the non-Casper body.
The assailant.
Dead on the scene. Yes. Yeah. But Casper was not dead on scene. Yeah. He was dying. So he shot and killed whoever the assailant was, but they got a shot on him that wounded him enough that he died in hospital.
Yeah. And again, who's to say that the detective wasn't like offed in the hospital by the agency as well? It's layers upon layers of conspiracy theories. Yeah. Jay's own paranoia about a secret agency is infectious.
Yeah, it kind of seems like it.
Yeah. But yeah, sorry, Mikey, you're continue, please.
Yeah, so let's see. I didn't like how the story mundanified the previous stories.
Oh, it's cool when you do it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
When the author does it, it's not cool.
When there are cool ideas, then you're proud of them.
Yeah. You don't like getting, you don't like somebody else stealing your, like the author themselves stealing your thunder. I see how it is. The double standard.
Yeah. And yeah, that's all I have to say.
All right. All right. Then, gamer.
Mm-hmm. So, early on in the conversation, Jay says, irrelevant to all of that, you know why I'm here, why I'm doing this. You and the station's pigs have been hiding something, haven't you? Something deep, something dark. It's a gross lie that's kept. That should be, that's kept, comma, less the glue holding its own. This town together would wither away in dust. So, slight grammar there, actually. And then Casper says, feeling poetic, aren't you? Even whilst pulling shit out of your ass, you make it sound so cryptic. Didn't you recently send an email apologizing for how much of an attention seeker you were? Already walking back into it now. Thank you, detective. My thoughts exactly. I was literally about to type that, and he just said it for me.
Yeah, right? Like, that happens a couple times in the story. I feel seen.
Yeah.
In multiple times.
Pretty much. But then he doesn't stop doing it either.
No, he doesn't. He
ramps it up. And then later on, Casper's like, we've obviously been trying to locate you by tracing information you might leave behind post firewall intrusions. Clearly, we've not had the most success. And then Jay's like, why are you telling me this? And then a little bit later on, he's like, you don't care, do you? Or Casper, a little bit later on, is like, you don't care, do you? It's all a facade. And that got me thinking. And then Jay's like, you're rambling. Stop it. I'm more than you claim me to be. Don't try and reduce me to something so basic. I like the heel turn in this, where like, Jay's like acting like he's a big, scary supervillain. And then Casper just starts calling him out. And I'm thinking of hearing Jay using the voice modulator being like, oh, stop it. You don't know me.
what are you doing? Oh, God, I just swallowed a bee.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, no, like, I feel like this story has, like, two heel turns. That one, and then when Jay starts pressing Detective Clark about Jill Olson. Mm. That's when, both of them get a cool, like, little heel turn about, like, about their mannerisms and their demeanor shifts.
Yep.
Yeah.
Pretty much. But then I keep reading and I get like a third through this audio transcript and I'm like, I'm so tired of these two being overly dramatic about literally everything. It feels like I'm watching a stage play, not reading about a real event happen. It feels like they're actors. And
fair.
It just bugged the hell out of me. Like, they were reading lines, not saying words, you know?
Yeah, it's a little theatrical.
You're so, like, inorganic. I hate it.
I do feel like when Detective Clark, like, just like, ah, oh, that's a good cup of Joe. Like, I feel like that is, like, that was kind of realistic, but, like, and then as it goes on, it kind of gets a little bit more theatrical and cinematic.
Yeah, yeah. But even then, that's, like, a very supervillain move to, like, or hero move, I guess, one way or the other in movies. Like,
oh, I'm sorry. Were you saying something? Oh man, this was a
good.
Yeah.
But yeah, but we'll jump all the way to the end when Casper's killed. And then we get the article and it says, although this tragedy is sudden and shocking, then I'm like, would it be shocking at this point? How many people have been killed recently in this town? Like, a lot, but, right?
But yes, but like the killings up to this point have been pregnant women and children. The fact that a police officer was also now like killed in their home would be a different, would break the MO, I guess, or break the mold.
I guess.
Yeah.
Although it's still like all tied to the same case. Cause like he was investigating that case.
Yeah.
And then he gets killed. So he was getting too close to it. So it's literally just another murder by serial killer.
Yeah. This is also like journalist jargon. Like this is stuff that journalists like do in their articles all the time. Like,
yeah,
it's always
the 20th in the same month. And it's like, sudden and shocking. Cause it's still someone's life being taken, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. Like and that's as I don't, not to sound cold, but like, it's sort of a sensationalist kind of thing that journalists do to like kind of ramp up readership, is to have like these kind of like, it's like, oh, the town is rocked by this shocking 23rd killing since
this is the Wednesday paper.
Jesus Christ. Oh my God. It, like, if it had been taking place over the course of like a week, like that, like who's reading the fucking newspaper? People are evacuating this town.
Yeah. Oh, God. God, so dark.
But, yeah, it's so morbid, but like,
yeah.
But yeah, I've definitely I've definitely read like actual like newspaper articles that do that kind of stuff. Even like it, when there's like, not so much for killings, but like deaths from like, I guess the Canadian fires that were happening, the wildfires that were happening last summer. Like it was like every fucking day there was a new death that was brought up in an article and stuff like that, or another fire that was springing up. And it was just like, I get what you're saying. Like the articles they're making it like sound like, oh, this is like, this is the first time it's happening. But like, as a jaded like person that has seen these articles come in like day after day after week, you start getting kind of tired of that, like that same kind of like shock writing or I just become desensitized from it, sadly.
Yeah.
So like, I can kind of see where you're going, but like, that's honestly how writers and journalists like write their articles to try and get people, charged or interested in reading their article, is like adding this kind of jargon.
Yeah, I almost expected it to be like the latest killing in the Womb Ripper series of murders, this time a police officer, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
That's how I almost expected it to go.
Yeah. And to be fair, like these killings have had a very strange exponential, like escalation. Like first it was like pregnant women, but then when all the pregnant women were wiped out in town,
basically,
God. It shifted to child disappearances. Yeah. And then the guy in charge of the case of the spree, like investigating it, is found murdered in his home. Like it's definitely like, there's a really weird it is kind of shocking in terms of the escalation of like what's happening with the killings.
For sure. Yeah. You're not wrong. So forget everything I said. Cut this.
No, it's fine. It's fine. Because then we wouldn't have the like, it's like 23rd killing since Tuesday. And I really want to keep that in. Because it's just so morbidly funny.
Yeah. Yeah, that's basically the end of my notes, honestly. I've chimed in on most of the things.
Yeah. All right. Then on to final thoughts. So, yeah. I will partially recommend this. The body of it was good personally. Like I enjoyed like the back and forth of having the truth kind of play out in the interview / interrogation that the game that these characters were playing with each other effectively, like of like trying to like get the heel turn. The ending though, it just feels off to me. Though that might just be because things are sort of left up in the air to be discussed afterward or talked about. And for this story, it doesn't quite land as well as some other stories that have done this to me, or other media has done this to me. Like the one that comes to mind specifically is like or the one I hear, I've heard commonly, is Sleepaway Camp. Like the ending of that movie, not to spoil it, like not to spoil an 80, I'm not going to spoil an 80 or an 80s horror movie, but the ending, I've heard multiple times, like multiple people say, like when they first saw it in theaters, like they walked out of the theaters and had like a 30-minute conversation with their friends after watching. It's like, what the fuck? What was that ending? Like, like those kind of endings, like are basically like they make you think and they make you converse with your friends. This one, we're conversing and we're discussing it, but I'm still like, just like, what the fuck did I just read? Like, or like, I don't really, it's not like a, what the fuck did I just read? It's like, so I guess it's all over. And like, cause I don't think we're getting another one.
To a conclusion to what you think actually happened.
Yeah. It's left up in the air, but like, to me personally, sadly, it's not in a good way. Cause like, I don't know, like, so did Jay die or was it covered up? Who was Jay? Was Jay Jamie? Are the killings done, or are they going to continue in Moorfolk until there are no folk left in Moorfolk?
Yeah. There are no folk in Moorfolk.
Yes. Yeah, no. Moorfolk becomes a ghost town. Like years later, another story comes out a few years later of like no folk in Moorfolk. Icy Dice, we got you for the title for the next one, buddy. Unfortunately for me, I can only really partially recommend this one because like I liked the body of it, but like the ending didn't really have a decent didn't have a good execution for me.
Just because there were more questions than answers still.
Yeah. But similar to another series we recently covered, I will recommend this as part of the whole for the Moorfolk story. Like, I think it's still like, it's a conclusion to the Moorfolk series. So like, I do enjoy the Moorfolk story. It's just kind of sad that the ending here is sort of flopped for me, but the bulk of it, like as a whole, the sum of its parts, I would still recommend the Moorfolk series, but, that's my final thoughts. So Mikey, these stands for evil.
My biggest issue is that it mundanified what we thought was supernatural and the monster. And yeah.
No, your biggest problem is that you weren't able to mundanify it.
Yeah. You were denied. the author got was like, these guys are gonna critique my story and mundanify it. Not today, Mikey. Or just like, hold my beer.
Yeah.
It's that Thanos ending. It's like, I'll do it myself.
Yeah. So, So because it was mundanified, what I liked about the first one was that it was supernatural, or we didn't have enough information to know that it wasn't supernatural. And this one just makes it like, yeah, it's all mundane.
I mean, in your eyes, I mean, there's still room for supernatural to exist.
Yeah, but there's still some room, but the more information that we get on about Moorfolk, the more mundane it becomes.
Yeah.
Like, I think the last one we did added more mundane because, like, nothing really happened. And this one, something happened, but it mundanified earlier stuff. So,
yeah, I think the previous one kind of ruined it because, or kind of leaned more to the mundane because we're starting to get more into the headspace of Jay. And how how paranoid he was about a secret agency and stuff like that. But
yeah. So as it is, I still do not recommend this.
All right. What about the story as a whole? Like the series as a whole? You still recommend it?
Series as a whole, read the first one and then I think it'd stop after that, right?
Right. Ow. Tough but fair.
I think that's based on my recommendations, so
Okay.
I can't remember what I recommended for the other ones.
Yeah, I'd have to like look back and see how you recommended the other ones.
Too much work.
Yeah. God damn. All right, Gamer, your final thoughts and recommendations.
So for me, I didn't like the angle that Casper was like the bad guy here. And because like for me, Jay's been the villain since like entry two. Entry one, I bought that he's just a concerned citizen and all that, and I liked that angle, but he just flipped the switch, got the curly mustache, put on the top hat and the monocle, and went hard at it.
You just don't like vigilante justice. No. No, that wasn't actually meant to be serious. That was kind of me just jabbing at you. That was
okay. Regardless, as much as I love that, like Casper called out Jay for being so damn dramatic. Still, I was like reading this. I was so bored. Honestly, I hate to say it. Like, I don't know if it's because I started reading at midnight because I lost track of time. But I just hated how it felt like a play, or like they, like I said before, it felt like they were reading lines, not actually having a real conversation. Because like it was so flowery and dramatic, and they always had one ups on each other, and they kept going back and forth. I don't know. It's just
I will say I have heard from Icy Dice that they really do like to write monologues and such. So that might be why it sounds more like. Like a script or a play than real speech.
Yeah, maybe. It's one thing if like one person's giving the monologue, but when it's like two people giving monologues, it's kind of like a little much.
Yeah.
But yeah, to parrot what Mikey said in regards to the overall recommendation, I also think the first one's the best. And just like the more that this creature got explained, the worse it got. So I would prefer stopping at one or two, personally. Like it was okay seeing Jake starting to go a little nuts in two, I guess, but yeah. And for this story itself, I still don't recommend it just because I couldn't get into it. And like, I preferred the mystery of this revenant that's doing these things than all of these quote unquote clarifications, which I'm still not clear on.
Yeah.
Cause like,
That's
we know so much and yet know so little.
Yeah, like I mean, sometimes that is fine in a story, like to not get like a clear ending, but like it can be done wrong and like and hurt the story if you're not clear enough.
But here's the thing
in the context.
Ever since episode one, Phantom Menace.
I mean, she was kind of a fan. To be fair, she was kind of a Phantom Menace.
Yeah, ever since episode one, the Phantom Menace, Jay has been saying that I know all this stuff, and I will tell you exactly what's happening in due time.
Next time on Dragon Ball Z,
and we get through three or like four or five entries, and I still don't know what's happening exactly. Like, yeah, I get it that something happened to her. She had relations with a police officer, whether it was consensual from one party or the other or not is irrelevant. That happened. She went on to another town and died. And she's targeting more folk because of that event that happened there, I guess.
Yeah.
That part gets explained. But it's like, who's Jay?
Yeah, like it's who was that's Jay?
Bugging me this whole time? Because like it keeps throwing stuff out, like this could be Jay, this could be Jay, and it like signs off with a Jay name. It's like, is that Jay? I don't fucking know. How do you put that in there if he's dead?
You know what I really wish we had gotten in the transcript? That Jay had straight up said, like said something along the line, like he insinuates that she had a kid before she died, and like and detective just like Clark is like, wait, 20 years. What? And then, like, I just wish Jay and Stray was like, and guess what, Dad?
Yeah.
I'm thinking I'm back.
Yeah. Like, again, that was, we all assumed that, but.
Yeah. Because
that's why he's targeting him specifically.
Yeah, because there was definitely some heavy insinuation in the previous stories that, like, Jay had some kind of familial, child connection with the mother entity. Mm-hmm. But we just, and then it just it's insinuated, but like, come on, this is the last story. Like, give us a clearer like thing, please. Yeah, at least like, in this regard.
Like, say, like, yeah, that's how I learned to do all this hacking stuff, because I've been planning this for a decade ever since I found out what you did to my mother. Blah blah blah. It's just a lot said without much being said. That's a big problem.
Yeah.
The only true thing that, well, again, quote unquote true, because Casper said you could have just put on an outfit and scarecrow these motherfuckers, but we're gonna take it at face value of what Jay said, that she's actually a revenant, came back because of what Casper did to her. That's the truth, I guess, that we get through this this series.
Yeah.
But like, oh man, I just don't like how it came off.
Yeah, fair. Yeah, I think it could have ended better. Like, I think that's honestly my big thing for this story is like, I liked the bulk of it, and then the ending sort of just flopped to me. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I do understand where you guys are coming from. We're just going. I was giving it gray. You guys are giving it black and white.
Yeah.
And much like the mother. Problem
is, like, I liked Detective Casper.
Yeah. And I just...
Like, you're trying to all of a sudden paint him like he's an actual monster all of a sudden?
I mean, yeah, you're fair. The thing is, like, I did not have any real favoritism one way or the other. So, yeah. Like, throughout the story. Like, we're going with the narrative that like the cop, like I've also seen this narrative, not throwing like shade at I see this, but I've seen this trope, I guess, in horror movies where like, yeah, like all these killing, like the killings are happening from a supernatural monster. And it's usually because like the monster was like, was killed or mistreated by the local authorities when they were younger. And then like they tried to cover it up because with their station or like their job, like they used the power they had from their job to cover up something, and then like a decade or two later the supernatural thing like the festering finally like explodes out into the supernatural monster that's killing people in the town. Mm-hmm. Like it's definitely something that you see in some genre, in some horror stories, so like I like that for it, but it's just, yeah, it came almost like too late at the end. By the end here,
kind of, yeah. Like, I feel like all the information we got could have been said in like two or three entries instead of four or five, like what we got.
Because yeah, it's
just sort of beat around the bush, in my opinion.
Yeah, like it's sort of, that's also sort of the problem with like serialization of a story, like, because this is kind of like a serialization of a series. And again, I don't hate it, but it's just like there were some entries in the series that were just like, next time on More Folk Z.
Much, yeah. It's just like, what I hate the most is like, on after reading episode one of The Phantom Menace, I fucking loved it.
I know, yeah.
It was like one of my favorite creepypastas I've read in a long time. And then it seemed like Jay just kind of went nuts and stopped being a real human being. Because that's what I felt the first one was. It felt like an actual post that could be on like a Facebook message group for a community, yeah, of, yeah, someone being concerned about things that are happening, and yeah, then it just went off.
Yeah, yeah. That's really like, that's like, that's, there's the tragedy for us as like, as our little crew. Like, we, I think we all like liked the start of the series, and then there was just some kind of like, I guess for some of us, it was diminishing returns. Mm-hmm.
It's, yeah, like the first episode was street level, and then all of a sudden it's like super powered, you know?
Yeah.
Because it just jumped to like a new genre. Yeah. I don't know.
I will say I did love when we got like Pretty's like telling, yeah, of like him finding, that was really cool when we actually got like the monster's like layer and some of that. And then we never go there again.
I mean, we don't like, need to go there.
But that, like, I also want to know, it's like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Huh? What I want to kind of know, like, honestly, like, I think what's bothering me about this is like, she, it sounded like, like Jill had been abused by somebody else before she encountered Detective Clark. Like, it sort of, in this one, it sort of go, like, at the start, it sort of insinuated like she had escaped somewhere and she was heavily sedated or something like that. But it also kind of sounded like she could have just been like a druggie who just wandered into town. Like, maybe that secret agency was actually at play here, and there's some darker insinuation here going on. I don't know.
Having the reveal of what happened, it kind of gave me like Rambo 1 First Blood vibes.
Yeah.
of Rambo just walking into town and then the authorities just fuck with him for no reason.
Just being that. Well, again, that was a thing that was actually happening to a lot of Vietnam war vets because America went into that war and then they left losers. and no one, even back home, no one liked them for what they did.
Yeah.
I think that was the Vietnam War.
Probably.
It might be the Korean War. I don't know. Double check. But yeah, whatever that one was, like that the war that Rambo came back from was like a lot of vets were getting just like just kicked in the face by both the government and the public for what they thought was doing their duty.
Job, honestly.
Huh?
For doing their job. Like they're they're told to go there. The brash. Why are we talking about this?
Yeah, we're going. You brought up Rambo, and it's sort of.
I brought up Rambo.
I'm sorry.
But yeah, that's the long and short of all this. I like the first couple. I say first couple because like that other scene with Pretty and all that adds a lot of character and shows the creature more and all that. But yeah. As it got on, it got worse and worse in my opinion, just because it wasn't grounded in reality anymore.
Yeah.
But that's my two cents.
All right. Well, I guess for this story itself, I guess it'll be a partial recommendation and two non-recommendations. And then collectively for the story, like the series as a whole, I recommend it, but also, and then you guys gave it a partial recommendation, like read,
because we recommend reading part of it.
Yeah, so read some of the entries, but like kind of just stop after a couple.
If you wanted to stay grounded in reality,
yeah,
and like have high immersion levels, just do one or two, because the immersion kind of peters out, unfortunately, later on.
Yeah,
in my opinion, at least, which is
That's all. That's just our opinion.
Someone who is very ill informed on most things.
Yes.
Don't agree with me.
No, I mean I kind of agree with like I meant like I was also like putting myself in there because like we aren't like professionals.
No.
Like we are just doing this for fun and like because we as for a passion so yeah. Mm. But yeah, so take with that you will audience. That is it for tonight. If you like what you heard or if you didn't, leave us a comment in the comment section below where this gets posted. We're all on Twitter. Mikey is at the East Ends for Evil. The Gamer in Yellow is at the Gamer in Yellow with that W at the end because his name is very long.
Yeah.
And I'm at Review Cultist. I'm also on Blue Sky as Review Cultist. And you can also send us emails at aldenterigamortis@gmail.com. That's aldenterigamortis@gmail.com. Where you can also send us other creepypastas, SCPs, spooky things. You creep it, we'll peep it. Yeah. And if you'd like to help support our show financially, you can go to Patreon. We have $2 and $5 tiers with special episodes, early access, extra content. To all our patrons, thank you immensely. You're helping keep those hosting bills at bay. And as always, we very much appreciate that. And to our listeners and the authors of these stories, thank you immensely. Because without your listenership, it'd be like screaming into the void. And without your authorship and posting these stories online, we really wouldn't have much of a show because we have nothing to talk about. So thank you. Until next time, I have been your host, Review Cultist.
I'm Mikey, East Ends for Evil.
And I'm the Gamer in Yellow.
And this has been Al Dente Rigamortis. Sleep well.